Hey, Bert. Great meeting you, man. Great show.
Thank you. Thank
you
so much.
Will you do me a solid and just say, I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast?
Sure. You ready?
I'm ready right now.
Ready right now? I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Thank you, man.
Wait, one more.
All right. Yeah, take two.
Where's the eye camera thing? Right here?
I just got this.
I'm Bert Kreischer. I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
I bought a book, too. So.
Hey, thank you, man.
Thanks a lot, man. That was great.
Take care. Thank you.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, Radio St. Pete, RadioSt.Pete.com. Hello, how are you? My name is Will. I'm your host of this program. I hope you're doing okay. I'm doing all right. Just kicking back, relaxing, having a beer. It's a good thing about having a studio at your house is you can just get drunk and nobody can say anything to you. And when you don't get paid, what are they going to do? Fire you? I don't think so. But anyways, I hope you're doing well. I hope you're enjoying your week. And with me this week, I have a funny guy, a little scary looking, but a sweetheart nonetheless. Once you get to know him, Matt Fernandez is here. How are you, man?
Hey, William. Glad to be here. I like how you just totally interviewed yourself.
You're like, what are they going to do, fire me? No, they're not going to fire yourself. Drinking beer. Okay, we're drinking beer.
Yeah, it's what I do, you know.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man, no doubt. I saw you when I was coming out to get you, and I just heard dogs barking, and then just a big bald head and beard peek around the corner.
There was an angry little dog smashing his head against the glass of a window, just trying to eat my face, I'm sure.
Oh, but, my gosh.
He was cute.
Yeah, they're really nice dogs. Yeah, those ones. That poor girl lives down the stairs by herself, and I don't know if she was home or not. But
so you've been casing the joint? You've been watching her?
A little bit.
From the bushes?
You know, here and there. I notice things. You know, what can I tell you?
Sure, sure.
And it's information I may be able to use later. I don't know. We'll see. You know, if this thing doesn't work out, life a crime.
You should have her on the podcast.
I should. along with her great aunt. Yeah.
She lives with her aunt.
I don't know. I have my suspicions, you know.
You've got a whole weird fantasy worked out, and I like it.
I do. Yeah, I do that with a lot of things. I like to fill in the blanks sometimes, you know, because sometimes there's a lot just in your day-to-day.
Sure.
And like, okay, so you know this about a person. Where could this go? And then you just, it's like, what's that, ab libs? Is that what that's called?
Yeah, we can call it that.
Is that what it is?
Or stalking, you know, whatever.
Sure. Yeah, you know. Matt is a comedian with Cigar City Comedy. He was supposed to do the January 29th show at Sly Bar.
This is true.
But he's got bigger
and
better things.
I'll do the next one. Don't you worry.
Oh, yeah. I like that. we're already in discussions about that one. I have a plan. But Matt is going to be also, John Jacobs was in last week, and he's going to be on your show at the 29th.
29th in Tampa.
That's at Crowbar?
In my home city, yeah.
Crowbar, yeah.
That was really the only reason why I did that. It's just easier to stay in Tampa.
I completely understand. Are you carless?
No, I'm not carless. I have a car. I just don't... I don't like to drive, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I hear you.
No, yeah. I Uber a lot because everywhere I go, I'm drinking. It's, you know, I try to be safe.
That's the thing, like, down here, I'm so close to downtown that being able to just stumble home is...
Like, I Ubered here because I was like, oh, we're definitely going to have some beers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I would have came
Well,
no,
my girlfriend's house is only 10 minutes away. I think it cost me, like, $6. Wasn't even a big deal.
Right on.
Yeah.
I did that, and if you can share a ride with Uber, oh, man, that's fantastic because if you get, like, four people crammed in, that's, like, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're one person, it gets to be a little much.
Yeah, if it was, like, a 20-minute drive, I would have, you know, not even worried about it, but...
Yeah, I did it. I think it was Christmas Eve. I went down to J-Wags. You ever been down to J-Wags?
Is that really a place, or is that
it
just
is.
J-Wags? No, is it,
no, this is no ad-lib fantasy that I came up with. It's on 4th Street, actually, near the rally up there. It's a little hole in the wall. It's kind of got a wood, like, log cabin almost type of facade, what do you call that, facade on it.
Okay. No, I haven't seen it, but I will definitely check. It sounds like my kind of place.
It's like an industry bar. Like, all the bartenders go there and hang out there. It's a little out of the cut. It's, you know, not the typical downtown folk that travel in there. it's another level of
folk.
Scumbag that
gotcha.
Comes in there. You know, they're all pieces of garbage, too. But
not quite as hipster douchebaggy?
Yes.
Okay. No suspenders?
Have I seen? Oh no, no suspenders.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes you see a mustache every now and then, but it's like a real mustache, not a hipster mustache. It's got like crumbs
like
in it.
Reynolds.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Not Salvador Dali.
No. Right. Yeah. But yeah, that's a good place. They got, I think it's crowns like $3, which is a hell of a deal. And you know, $2 Rolling Rocks.
That's nice. All right. Yeah. I'm a fan of good beer. I told you that. I'm a huge fan.
I went and got you some
did.
Good
you're,
beers.
You're a good man.
What do you think?
You're a good man.
What do you think of the selection there?
The this one I've never had before, but I'm a fan. Two Hearted Ale.
Two Hearted's fantastic.
Shout out to Two Hearted Ale.
That's
it's really
Bell's.
Good. Yeah.
I want to unofficially announce that Bell's Two Hearted Ale is the sponsor of this podcast, and you can go buy their fine products at Rally. Right here at St. Pete.
I love that in St. Pete. You have craft beer at the gas station. In Tampa, it's just garbage beer. The best you're going to get is Heineken, and I hate it.
Really? There's no place down there?
I mean, maybe you'll catch a Magic Hat every once in a while, and you know. But
what part of Tampa are you in?
West Tampa. A lot of...
Oh,
the Spanish part?
Yeah, that's why. Okay. Is that down near like the stadium?
Yeah, stuff? I'm about 10 minutes from the stadium.
There is nothing there. Yeah, that's true. Because like South Tampa's pretty fancy.
Yeah, South Tampa. I mean, Ybor's kind of West Tampa. It's still a 15-minute drive or so. But yeah, South Tampa is fancy. And their Seminole Heights is on the come up. They're
yeah,
on the
that's
upswing.
On the up and up for sure. Where is that, Seminole Heights?
It's Florida between MLK and Hillsboro. That whole area. A lot of good bars in there. Independent.
Okay.
Yeah, they just opened another rock and roll bar.
Was that... The Independent used to be down here.
It did. From what I've heard, I never went to it when it was here, but I have heard from many people that it used to be in St. Pete.
I think what it was that they had two locations. There was one in the Seminole Heights and then one in downtown, and the guy got a divorce from his wife. And she got the one in Tampa.
Independent.
Yeah, exactly. So he got the one in St. Pete, but he had to change the name or something. Like, she got to keep the name in a divorce. So he tried to do this thing. It was called Euphoria. And he, like, gutted the place and painted the walls blue and put, like, really modern IKEA furniture in it. And it was just weird.
The moral of this story is never, ever get married or trust a woman.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm way ahead of you.
That's
there.
That's terrible.
Pal. Yeah. There was a really great staff that worked at Independent too. Like people, they knew him by name. Like some guy would come in and bring cookies all the time. He'd always, "Here, have a cookie." Okay, sure. Sounds good.
Are you describing yourself?
No, this is no ad libs again. Like this is for real. But he got rid of all the staff and then people didn't show up anymore, which I kind of understand what he was going after. Like he was trying to reinvent the joint, right? He didn't want any resemblance to the old
trying
place.
To wash off his ex-wife
exactly and then you know just try to start something new
but
ended up backfiring. It was a risk, it was a gamble.
Is it still around or does it not even exist anymore?
I'm pretty sure there's this place, the Cask and the Ale, that's there now.
Oh yeah, I know that place.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's where it was. And the Cask and the Ale is very nice.
I'm a fan of that. Yeah, they're pretty cool,
but I'm always afraid to go in there because I usually always walk by on a Friday or Saturday and there's just a bunch of handsome people.
That's true.
In
the only place the only time I was ever there was I think it was a Tuesday or Wednesday night, so
that's perfect. And yeah. I'm a big fan of old fashions if they're made correctly. They make a really good old fashioned.
What's in an old fashioned? Is it whiskey or I'm not familiar?
Is it bourbon or whiskey? Which, aren't they pretty much the same
thing?
Yeah, I think
they're just like one stays in a barrel for longer.
Yes. So that, and then it's like, I don't know, grenadine or something, and they take an orange and do something with the orange. It's got a maraschino cherry in it.
Out of the 1950s.
It truly is.
I like the sound of it.
Yeah, it's delicious. If it's made right. I had one at Del Mar. Do you know where that is? Cafe Del Mar?
I think I've been there once.
It's on this, the main block downtown.
Is it on the corner of something and something else?
It's near the cigar bar, and then there's an oyster bar.
Oh my God, I was at Cafe Del Mar on Thanksgiving.
Okay,
because,
it's got the
my Thanksgiving plans fell through, and me and my girlfriend just ended up going there and day drinking and eating, like, I don't know, quesadillas or something.
Hey,
awesome.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. They partnered up with the organics place next door.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it's, and I asked the guy, I was like, "Hey, can you make an old fashioned?" And he's like, "Yeah." And just the way he said, "Yeah," I was like, "This isn't."
Let me look on my phone.
Yeah, gonna be good. And then I saw him, he like pulled out, he put the, you know, the whiskey. He's like, "What kind of whiskey?" I was like, I don't know.
The good kind?
Yeah, I don't know what you got. Just a well, which was probably my fault, or well whiskey for the old fashioned, which is probably not
He's like, hey, can I have a hangover tomorrow? Right. Can I please have one?
Yeah. And then he brought out some stuff. I don't know what it was. I think it was like either bitters, or I thought it was Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah. Oh, that's definitely bitters. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So then he put that in there, and I was like, this is not going to be good. This is not what I'm thinking. And it was just god awful.
There's a speakeasy in Tampa. It's called Ciro's, and they also use bitters quite frequently.
What is a speakeasy?
It's basically a carryover from like the Prohibition days when you had to have a password to get in, and like they gave you your own little private booth. It's very sneaky, and the drinks are all fancy. You can't just get a rum and coke. You'll have like I got a Singapore Sling and all these crazy drinks, but it was awesome. And yeah, the password was aviation. You have to have a password to get in. It was very fancy.
I think I've heard of this place, and they don't advertise it at all.
It's underneath an apartment complex. You would never know it's there.
That's pretty cool. I want to check that place out.
You have to have some money, though. You're going to spend.
Oh, no,
like,
really?
I bought, I think, 6 drinks was $70, something like that.
Wow.
But they were really good. I was definitely drunk.
Yeah, I mean, you have to expect that. You know, there's certain things you shouldn't, you know, pay less money for, like an old-fashioned or, like, toilet paper or something.
I'm a firm believer in you get what you pay for.
Absolutely, especially in those departments. So if you're just joining us, I'm here with Matt Fernandez. He's a comedian with Cigar City Comedy and just a person in general. By the way, before I forget, I got stickers made. Homemade Broadcast Radio St. Pete stickers. And they can be yours for the low, low price of nothing. So if you want some, email the Homemade Broadcast. Don't forget the at gmail.com. And with my own money, I'm going to buy a stamp. And I'm going to put a stamp on them and send them to you. So they're free. So what do you want from me?
Wow, you're paying for postage?
Yeah.
You're a good man.
I know. And as you can tell, I don't live in the lap of luxury as you're in the studio.
What are you talking about? This place is awesome.
Thanks, man.
It's like a dorm room farted. Great.
That's a good way to describe it, yeah. That's what I want to say from now on. I got the acoustic guitar, of course, in the corner. So really sets the mood off right.
Can I have one of those stickers when I leave?
I actually don't have them on me.
Why?
They are being printed.
Lies.
They are on their FedEx ground shipped. Oh, and I was hoping to have them for the open mic. I don't think that's going to happen either, unless a miracle happens.
Are you going to have them by the 29th show?
Yes,
for sure. Show plug.
For sure, yes. At Sly Bar, we got some other great comics on that one. That's John J. Murray, David Weingarten, Chris Madsen, Krishna Reedy. Is that how you say his name? You know Chris?
Is he on that show?
He is.
He is? Okay.
I think
he might have took your
spot, actually.
No, John Jay took my spot. Okay. Krishna's on that show and the 24th show. Lots of chances to see Krishna Reedy.
Yeah. What's the one at Enigma?
Enigma on the 24th.
24th,
right? 9 o'clock. Yeah, it's a free show.
The gay bar is going to be awesome.
Is it a gay bar?
It is.
Oh.
It is a very gay bar.
Oh, no.
You didn't know this?
I didn't know that.
Oh, this is going to be
fantastic. I just got an email and was like, show, pay, yeah, money. I like telling jokes.
Yeah,
That's going to be apparently a lot. It's going to be me, Krishna Reddy, David Weingarten, Joe Riga, and Law Smith.
Okay.
That's a solid lineup there. All cool people.
Yeah. I know Law very well. He's a good man.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I always talk about Law in the pod. I think I kind of have a little bit of a man crush on Law a little bit. He's so well spoken, and he's just handsome as hell. And
he's a dreamboat.
I kept falling into his eyes whenever we did the podcast, and he commanded the situation too. He would just be like, he took control of the podcast, which is great because the less I have to talk,
it's
the better.
Like, he's good at comedy. He's okay or whatever. But as far as like being a manager and like, here's how this is going to go.
Absolutely.
If we're planning a bank robbery, Law is planning that bank robbery. And he's going to give you an assignment and tell you exactly
what to do. He is
George
Clooney.
He is.
No doubt about it.
It would be Law's 11. It would be his movie.
No doubt. So, Matt, where are you from originally? You're from Tampa Bay?
I am from Tampa Bay, yep.
Were you born in Tampa?
I was born in Denver, but I moved here like 2 months after that. I'm a huge Bucks fan, but I'm also a little bit of a Broncos fan, too.
See, so. That's okay. You know, you have a right. We were talking about this earlier. We're recording this on a little bit before, so the Cowboys played today.
Uh-huh.
And I grew up a Cowboys fan, like, before I knew.
I think everyone did.
Yeah, it was hard not to.
When I discovered football, it was, you know, Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith, like you were saying.
I begged my mother. I remember my parents divorced when I was really little. And I remember being, like, 6 or 7. and I begged her to marry Troy Aikman. I really wanted him as
my
dad.
Come on, Mom. Get it together.
Yeah.
Go get Troy Aikman.
Yeah, we're stuck with this guy. What are you talking about? I love my stepdad, though.
I was like, is he going to listen to this? He's going to be devastated.
He might listen to it, yeah.
You're no Troy Aikman.
But I think he would, my stepdad, Mark, would be like, he's right. I'm no Troy Aikman. He's very subdued.
It's hard to argue that. There's only one Troy Aikman.
That's true. So he knows, but... Yeah, so I always kind of grew up a Cowboys fan, and I was a little upset. Packers took them down today. I had to work all day.
It was a good game, though.
Yeah, I wish I could have got to watch it. It came down to, like,
yeah.
What, I was last actually, second?
We were supposed to go, me and my girlfriend were going to go to the movies today and see Inherent Vice, but she got sick. So we actually just hung out and watched that game, and then we watched Clear and Present Danger. Are you familiar? Clint Eastwood and John Malkovich?
I don't think I ever saw that, no.
It's amazing.
Is it worth seeing?
Wait, is that it? Or maybe it was in The Line of Fire. It was one of those 1990 movies where the president is in jeopardy and Clint Eastwood a total bad A-word. Can I say the A-word?
I think so.
Badass?
Yeah,
he's a badass.
Because ass is
and
like...
John Malkovich is the bad guy. He has a plastic gun. It's really good.
Man, I got to check this out.
I think it's in The Line of Fire or Clear and Present Danger. It's one of those two.
There were a lot of those. And I think there's actually a couple more coming out. I saw a preview on Reddit the other day where Samuel L. Jackson is president.
Oh, my God.
And it's a kid that finds him. There's a hijacking of some sort. The preview moved very fast. And they put him in this pod, and they sent him down, and he landed in, like, the Norwegian, I don't know what you call it,
Samuel L. Jackson goes to Europe? Is that what this movie's about?
Basically.
Sold. I can't wait to see it.
It looks action-packed. I'm sure it's going to be great. You know, Samuel L. Jackson, for as good of an actor he is, truly, because like he's been in some great films.
He has had some good, but I mean, he plays himself a lot.
Yeah.
But he also is a really good actor.
A lot of bad movies,
yeah.
Too.
A lot of bad ones.
I think, was he in the shark one, the Deep Blue Sea, where he got bit in half?
Yeah, he got eaten.
Yeah, that was the one where I was like, okay.
Abruptly, like he was in the middle of a speech when he gets eaten with Thomas Jane, the original Punisher.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember. And that's where I was kind of like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I'm tapping out on Samuel. And they did, of course, Snakes on a Plane, which made a lot of money, and it made him a fortune.
I don't know why, but yeah, it did well.
You sell out kind of your respectability, you know, your credence there little bit.
But he was also in Pulp Fiction, so it's hard to be mad at him.
Exactly, and did a fantastic job in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
I could have watched him and Travolta just do a movie by themselves.
Yeah. I wish they would have did a spinoff or something. Yeah. I don't know. It probably would have been terrible.
Travolta totally dies in the movie, spoiler alert. But they could have worked that in. They could have done a prequel.
Oh, they could have done like... His ghost comes back, a buddy movie, and his ghost.
Travolta's ghost?
And he's haunting Jules, right? And Jules has to go to this psychic who's in, I'll just say Alaska. So he's got to take, and they do this road trip all the way, and just wacky things happen along the way.
We're writing this as soon as this stupid podcast is over.
We're writing it now. This is happening. So yeah, that's it. And then basically the ending would be, they get there, and Jules has to sacrifice himself because you can't get into the afterlife alone.
That's true. At the end of Pulp Fiction, he said he was going to travel around and solve crimes and stuff. Samuel Jackson. He was just going to go where the wind takes him.
I just nailed this.
Yeah,
and you know Samuel, with his track record of movies, would be like, I'm in. Give me $20 million. Let's do this
thing.
And
you know Tarantino is listening right now.
He's got nothing to do. Come on. He's in Clearwater.
What?
Did you know he lives in Clearwater? Not from Clearwater, but
I'm sure he has several houses.
Yes, but he's a Scientologist.
Really? I didn't know that.
How did you not know this?
The only Scientologist I know is Tom Cruise. I don't really follow the religion enough to be like, oh, he's a Scientologist. Or
Will Smith?
She's crazy.
Will Smith is a Scientologist, too.
Oh, man. He hasn't done anything cool since... I gave up on Will Smith a while ago. After Earth was terrible.
I didn't see that.
Oh, don't
bother.
Don't
yeah, I'm not gonna bother.
Ever since that, what was the movie where the end of the world happened with the zombies who were crazy?
I am Legend.
Yes, that was the last. That was like what?
That was
2007.
Cool.
That was the last good thing he did.
That was great. Did you see the?
But he's also going to be Deadshot, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's gonna be awesome. I think.
Did you see the alternate ending to I Am Legend?
Yeah, where the he lets the zombie in and he's like, this was my zombie girlfriend.
Yeah,
you mutilated it. Yeah,
yeah.
Whatever.
I
like
liked
the
it.
Original ending.
Yeah,
I was a fan of the grenade. just let's do this.
Yeah. And yeah. Martyr. Yeah. Total mm-hmm. martyrdom. Yeah. I kind of like the alternate ending too, though, because it was more like it wasn't a disease. It was kind of more like an evolution in human development. Almost.
It was cool how they were still people. Like, even though they were crazy, whacked out zombies or whatever, they were still, you know, they still had some humanity. I think that was the only zombie movie that ever really did that.
Yeah.
Where they still had some sense of themselves.
They were just like, you know, North Floridians, pretty much.
Aw, it's sad because it's true.
Yeah. It is. I was talking to somebody the other day about how Florida is just a wasteland. There's these little metropolises. There's, like, the Tampa Bay area, and then there's Miami and Orlando.
I think once you go north of Orlando, you're playing with fire.
It is.
After you pass that place.
Yeah, totally Southern Alabama.
I did Jacksonville with Doug Benson, and the club owner, normally he was like, no cuss words and no religious material were like the two big things. And I was like, Doug, we can't cuss or do religion jokes. And he was like, oh, no, that's not tonight. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. This is going to be a good show. But it was weird. It was very different. You can tell. As soon as there's that line, as soon as you cross North Florida, it should just be Georgia.
Yep. I think, I don't know, like, you could even fill in the blanks between, like, Gainesville.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, there's pretty much nothing out there, too. And then you get to Gainesville, and Gainesville's got the college town.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
most of it is just, like, churches and gas stations.
Yeah.
And woods. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's a lot of cows. Because even, I mean, gosh, if you go to Tampa, you know, and you go a little east on a 75 even, you look to your right, and it's just pasture land and cows. And you
like
know,
Plant City and Brandon.
Yeah.
And,
It's a mess.
I'll agree with that.
So it's weird. Florida's a very weird state.
I think everyone knows that, though.
They do, yeah.
I think it's well documented.
Do you follow the Florida Man and Florida Woman?
Oh, he's one of my favorite Twitter accounts.
Oh, man. So good. So good. You're a pretty prolific Twitterer yourself.
Oh, thanks, man.
You got some... what was the... See, I usually do research, but like I said, I had to work today. You just got on a top 100 blogger list.
Yeah, the mandatory top 100 tweets of the last year.
Yeah, right on. And what tweet was that? Do you remember?
Oh, it was a horrible, horrible joke. It was my girlfriend told me to take a spider out instead of killing it, so he went and had some drinks. He's a cool guy. Wants to be a lawyer.
That wasn't a terrible joke. That was a great joke. See, I like those.
It's so corny.
It is, but those can sometimes be funny.
But those are also the best jokes for Twitter.
My buddy Kevin is the corniest dude ever, but he's hilarious in small doses. Sometimes it can be a little much, but Kevin is a silly, silly boy, and he'll do things just for fun. We went on a cruise not too long ago. And we're walking to the vessel, to the ship.
The vessel.
And I'm walking. I'm ahead of everybody. And I just hear him say, "Wait for me." And he's running. It's crowded. I don't know what you call, not the terminal. I don't know. Maybe it is called a terminal.
Terminal?
Well, you know,
like
for
a dead person?
No. Like like an airport terminal.
Oh, okay.
So you're walking your gate, you know, you're walking to the vessel.
I got you.
And he's, "Wait for me." And he runs and then he leaps in the air and just falls in front of these people and ripped his pants and everything. It was really bad. And I was shocked initially.
Is he a special needs child? Does he need...
He's borderline. He's a really smart guy.
Is he supervisioned?
One of the smartest guys I know, but he is a maniac.
That's cool. Those are the best kind of friends.
Yeah.
Who are so smart that when they get a chance to let steam out, they go completely crazy.
Yeah.
And they're just fun to watch.
Yeah, he's a silly guy. If you're just joining us, I'm here talking with Matt Fernandez. Matt is a comedian with Cigar City Comedy. You can check... what's your website?
MattFernandezWorld.com, and on Twitter it's at Fat Fernandez.
Classic. See, I was wondering, mine is not my name, and I kind of feel like...
You're on Twitter. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
am I saying? Yeah.
So I kind of feel like you got to have have it be your name. Otherwise, you're wasting time. Because when I try to find people, I was trying to find Troy Aikman today. Because I wanted to give him a...
Dad?
You know, yeah. Papa. I wanted to give him a shout out. And then his luckily was Troy Aikman. But if you try to search for... Like, people have really goofy ones sometimes. And you would never know. I have to Google, you know.
Unless they're ultra famous. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to have your name.
But I think there are a lot of people who are just want to do... Like, they only want to do Twitter. Like, unless you're a comedian or... have something else that you're just... Twitter is secondary. You're using it to promote something else. If you're just doing Twitter for the sake of Twitter, I don't think it matters.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your video game tag.
Right.
No one cares who you really are.
Yeah, if you're, can we just make a pact? Like, if you're famous, just have it be your name. I agree. Better things that you can do, and there's a lot of clever things out there. But just for ease, so I don't have to go Google, you know, Tom Cruise Twitter.
Matt Fernandez was taken.
Yeah. I wanted Fat Fernandez. Damn it.
That's fat with two T's.
Of course.
Just like my actual name.
You ever meet a Matt with just one T?
No, but I imagine they're horrible people.
I don't want to meet.
They're probably just bad.
Get out of my face with that.
That's gross.
Yeah. So, Matt, how long have you been doing comedy?
Oh, April will be 4 years.
Okay. How old are you?
I am 29. I will be 30 this year. It's going to be awful. But on my 30th birthday, actually, I'll be at Side Splitters May 10th. That weekend, I'm at Side Splitters featuring for Jim Florentine. So it'll be a fun birthday weekend, at least.
Nice. Can you give me tickets to that? I want to go.
I hope so, yeah. I should be able to, yeah.
Yes. I'm there.
He's grabbing another beer.
I am. Sorry about that.
For that 1 second, it was my show.
I've had to do that before. You know, I've had a couple times where, like, I had to use the restroom.
Sure.
And I was like, that was my fear because, of course, this isn't live now, but hopefully eventually it will be a live program where, you know, I'll be having to push buttons and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just get up. I mean, you can't just get up.
No, I know. I've done... do you know Johnny B?
Sure.
Yeah, I've done his show a few times, and I've literally been sitting there just like, I'm going to explode if I don't go pee.
Yeah.
Waiting for him to go to commercial. And then he's like, okay, man, you have 3 minutes and 40 seconds. And it's like a bomb or something. Like, you have this much time. Go pee now. Go, go, go. It's very high pressure.
Yeah.
This is much more laid back. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. Jacobs was on, did Johnny B last night, and he did like the whole show.
Yeah,
last night he said he was going to be on at 10:30. He's like, "Oh yeah, I'll tune in. I thought it was going to be a short little."
Jacobs is basically Batman, but you know he doesn't fight crime or anything. He's just up all night and then he sleeps all day.
Yeah, he showed up. It was hilarious. He showed up in like this velvet.
Did he have sweat shorts on?
He had. They matched his.
The only man
zip-up.
I've ever seen with sweat, not sweatpants, sweat shorts.
Yeah, yeah. No, he had pants on this time, but it was like velvet, like a nice material, long pants. White undershirt, matching jacket that matched his pants, and his hair was just everywhere.
I know about his hair, don't you? You don't have to tell me.
He's a wild man. He is a wild man. Yeah. He's a good guy.
He's a party animal, but yeah, no, I love him to death. We came up together. The first gig we ever got, we both got asked to host the open mic at Side Splitters. Like, that was our first, like, they paid us, and they were like, you guys can host the open mic. I hosted the first half. He hosted the second half. And that was cool. I feel like we'll always have that. That'll always be our connection.
Did you... I was hosting my open mics with somebody for a while, and then I found it to be counterproductive because I feel like if you get in the zone or something, then you're either cut off too early or maybe you could warm it up and then do some stuff.
No, I think... I don't open mic anymore. It's useless here, but I think Side Splitters, actually, that's the only open mic I will speak to that is consistently, like, I think it's just so hard to get something out of it. Otherwise, you just feel like you wasted your time. Like, improv's open mic is not great. And, you know, any comic will tell you that. And I haven't been to yours yet, but I'm hoping to get there this week, actually, with Weingarten.
Yeah, I hope so. That'd be awesome.
David Weingarten. I'm just throwing out names like people know them.
David's been on the show, too.
Yeah?
People know David, sure.
The Bear Jew. No, yeah, but I just think once you start to do longer sets, you know, and you start to feature and you do these 20-minute sets, you can pepper in new material. And then if it doesn't work, you can go right back to old material that you know will win them right back.
Yeah, but I meant more like when you have two hosts of an event, I feel like it's counterproductive.
Well, the only reason they did that was because there were, 22 comics, I think, that signed up. So,
okay.
I mean, just one person going back and forth all night for that many comics would just be too crazy.
Well, ours is getting pretty big. Down. I mean, I think last time we had about 14, and it's hit or miss. Like, sometimes.
Do you limit the sign up at all, or do you just let anyone?
Not now. I haven't had the need to do that yet. Yeah. I'm hoping to expand. You know, along.
That's great.
My plan is to, you know, how there's like trivia, like what are they called? Tampa Bay Dream Team, and they do all the trivia nights like everywhere in Tampa Bay. I want to do that with comedy. I want to do, like, if you were to go through comedy. And see, I don't want to host all these, though, is the only thing. I'm not really interested in that.
Hosting is terrible. If you're thinking about getting into comedy, know that you're going to have to host for a while, and it's the worst thing ever.
I don't mind it, but it's definitely not the funnest thing
ever.
No,
it is. Besides being the headliner, it's the hardest, most... involved job. You have to do all kinds of announcements, and you have to be up first when a crowd you're not really sure of. It's very terrible.
Yeah, I never can find a good way to start either. I need to find a new, I'm usually just like, hello?
I'm Will. Hey.
Hi.
Good, you guys came.
Glad to see some of you. Hello, Mother. Nice to you to make it. I think my mom actually is coming this Tuesday.
My mom has watched me a couple times, actually. She'll, her and my dad and my brothers will come. But not, you know, I don't, obviously not every show because it's not like I do new material every time. So they've seen most of my jokes.
See, that's kind of the struggle, too, is in any other major city, there's 20 open mics a night, right?
Oh, yeah.
And kind of St. Pete's a smaller city, and even Tampa for that matter, mm-hmm. too. It's hard to practice, you know, if you like there's mine, you know, and the same people come, I'm sure you don't want to do the same stuff you did at the last open mic.
Absolutely.
So how do you practice? How do you know what's good?
It was good. I think Tampa is a great place to start. It's you've got two major clubs and there are open mics. You can get up every night of the week when I was just starting out. So it's, you know, you can shop material for a week and then start over from the beginning with a whole new, you know, 5 minutes and build your set that way. That's what I did. But I think Tampa is a great place to start. But obviously you're not going to, you know, you're not going to blow up here.
Yeah.
When I say Tampa, I mean St. Pete, too. Like, I feel like
Tampa Bay, yeah.
They're buddies. They're connected by a bridge.
Well, it was like I was telling you earlier, though, I mean, St. Pete is primed for it. It's just there wasn't anybody doing it. And the only time I remember, I know that Bula does one weekly.
There used to be shows at Octave. Were you ever?
Really?
It was a dank, cigarette smoke-filled.
I remember Octave very well.
Cave,
yeah.
Of a bar. Uh-huh. But the shows were fun because everyone was wasted and you had to do crowd work. If you tried to do material, they would just eat you alive, yeah. And scream. But I don't even think that place exists anymore. From what I hear, it's closed down.
It closed. I went to their last day where they were open, which was, I think, Christmas night.
Yeah, I heard they were giving out dollar drinks because it was just basically a fire sale.
Free for all. Yeah, yeah. But I think they didn't close down. They're just going to move downtown, which I don't know how that's going to work. It's kind of weird.
I know the manager's a sweetheart. I love her to death. Mm-hmm. She had Chris Mattson was actually running their shows when they were doing them. I think they only did for like 3 or 4 weeks before they were like, you know, this isn't great.
Yeah, it's a hard... Foo Bar has one. I know Kyle Roos does one down here. But he only does it like 4 times a year. He does it like every 3 months. I think the next one's in March.
Yeah, I didn't even know about that one.
And my old partner that used to do this podcast with me was slated to host that thing. But Foo Bar just does not seem like a good place to do comedy.
Every time I've been there, it's been pretty packed.
It is packed.
Like, so packed that I can't imagine trying to do comedy there.
And it's people that are wasted and guys that wear like shoulder pads with spikes on them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can't imagine doing comedy there. And I saw a write-up of this was shortly after I did the first one at Sly Bar, and they were talking about there's this new comedy thing to, and I was kind of irritated because I was like, I just did an open mic 3 weeks ago. But they were kind of like, oh, this is the first one in St. Pete. But it sounded terrible from the write-up. Like, everyone was hammered, yelling, throwing things.
Oh, wow.
Like, it just did not seem like
I'm just picturing, like, stand-up behind a cage, like in Roadhouse.
Yeah.
That blind kid playing guitar.
Well, there is a... What club is that where there is, like, literally, like, chicken wire fence in front of you so people can throw stuff
at you? Are you serious? Is this really a thing?
This is real.
I don't know, but I'm going to find it and ask him if I can do jokes there.
I saw Andy Andrus do, like, a YouTube clip, do a set there, and he gets hammered all the time, and...
I imagine doing a place like that, you don't want to go up sober and like, hey guys, I'm going to tell some jokes.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't want to do that. But Andy Andrus is notorious, you know, for getting drunk. He's another comic. He's like Stanhope's buddy.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually came down here. Like, I started kind of doing this when I was like 18. I used to host for my buddy and then some guys that he met. And they somehow booked Andy Andrus to come down to this place called the Aqua Lounge, Dave's Aqua Lounge up on 19. And it was normally like a hookah bar. And, well, you know, they could still serve hookah, but they had this little tiny stage that he stood on, and he just got obliterated. And it was just awful.
I did a hookah lounge one time, and it sounds like it should be great. It's a dark room. People are not trying. They're not wasted. They're there to smoke and then be quiet, but... It was just too docile almost, where people were just kind of like Yeah. Not really into the comedy. They just wanted to do their own thing.
It has to be like, it has to be a special. I was listening to Joe Rogan's podcast, and he had this dude on who like studied comedy and what being funny was. And he did research on like what the best clubs for comedy were. And one of the things he said was low ceilings.
Oh yeah.
Red brick.
That's
for
clutch.
Whatever reason. The color of the walls mattered. The lighting, of course.
Yeah.
I forget the rest.
Low ceilings is big. I think that's it seems like tedious and like it wouldn't matter, but if you're doing a room that only has 50 or 60 people in it, a low ceiling can be your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes it sound so much more boisterous when they're laughing.
Yes.
Very helpful.
Yeah. I like Sly Bar a lot too, because Sly Bar has a 7-foot stage.
I've seen pictures. It looks like if you fall off it, you'll die.
You will definitely get hurt. Yeah. If you knock your head on the bar, forget it. You're going to be in a wheelchair at the best. Yeah. But it's cool. It's a little different. You can kind of, get to look down on everybody, you know, a little bit.
I gotcha.
So it's like, oh, you don't get it? Well, I'm up here for
it's
a reason.
It's very condescending. It's a
Absolutely.
Condescending stage.
It's a condescending room. It is. And of course, with me hosting it, it makes it all that much more condescending. But it's a fun place, you know, and you should definitely come check it out. I hope you do.
I am definitely going to. Don't worry. I'll be there.
Yeah. So we're working on 2014 after the showcase. I'm going to make some moves here.
Good. I think St. Pete is really, with the art community, and don't get me wrong, I love live music, but I do think that you can have some diversity, you know?
Definitely.
I think that there should be. Some comedy here.
If I see a guy, this is me, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. If I see a guy with an acoustic guitar, I walk right out of the place.
I want to bash him in the head with it.
I am not doing. I don't want to hear. You know, I love the Foo Fighters, but I don't want to hear you play.
I saw your acoustic guitar when I came in, and I was like, oh no.
It's more for show for ladies. You know, I can't play the.
I don't
damn
know
thing.
How to play it. It just looks cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much the case too.
Right.
I used to try to dabble. I tried to learn. You know, and I took lessons and everything, but I just got to a point where I was like, this is not for me. But I still have it. I got it from an ex-girlfriend many, many years ago. And now it's more of a sticker album than anything, you know. But it looks cool just kind of sitting in the corner.
It is. It brings this whole room together, if I do say so myself.
And sometimes a friend that actually knows how to play it will come in, and I'm like, oh, great.
I hate that I know how to play guitar. Isn't that weird?
You know how to play guitar?
I do.
Man, you are a man of many talents.
I was in two bands before I started doing comedy.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm really good at bass, but I can play guitar all right.
What kind of music did you play?
We didn't like to limit ourselves to labels.
Right.
No, I don't know. It was rock, you know.
Okay.
Kind of. I'm very influenced by the Chili Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
I love Flea to death.
So you don't play in bands anymore or anything?
No. I do play by myself every once in a while. I kind of have toyed with the idea of bringing it on stage with me for comedy.
Okay.
Demetri Martin, Nick Thune style.
Sure.
You know, I've never had the balls to do it. Hopefully,
well,
someday.
I'll tell you what, Sly Bar has a full mixer up there that we can plug instruments into.
All right.
Hey, if you want to experiment, see what happens.
All right. I used to be, when I started out, it was just like I was a one-liner comic. So, mm-hmm. I mean, and it was cool. It went all right, but... I don't do one-liners anymore. It's obviously long form, but I think like I could still write one-liners and then play guitar behind it and have it not be so or sound so forced. Almost
yeah.
Like I love Demetri Martin to death, but I don't like to compare myself to people. But I would like to try that, give that a shot, dip my toes in the water.
Yeah, right on. So are you? This is your job?
No, I have a day job.
Oh, you do have a day
job. I work at a radiology office.
Really?
I do paperwork.
Okay,
and,
right on.
Take insurance information for MRIs and X-rays.
I can't imagine. I was waiting for you to be like, yeah, I do.
I'm an assassin. I kill people for money.
I was waiting for you to be like, I'm a mammogram tech. I flop them out and just, you know, squeeze
them. That was my, before I got, like, realized I could do this for a while, that was my backup plan. Like, I could be an MRI tech. I just have to go to school for, like, a year. It's, like, nothing. But
yeah.
Now I'm like, no, I only want to do comedy.
Yeah, that's great, man. It sounds like you're well on your way. You're very well recognized in the community. You're
thanks, man.
I think I kind of have a crush on you as well since I saw you open for Stanhope.
Oh, that was a great show. Thank you.
Been trying to get you on forever. I'm glad.
I loved your Kreischer opening. I'm actually reading his book right now.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Funny that you said that.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's going to be at Improv on the 30th, and I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to go. But then I was like, oh, he's doing a show at noon.
Is he?
It's like a skip work show. It's basically what he's trying to his theme. But
wow, that's interesting.
I like getting paid, so it's hard for me to be like, no, I'm going to skip work and go to a comedy show.
Yeah, yeah. Especially
basically just giving people an excuse to day drink at 12 o'clock.
Is it on a Thursday?
No, it's on a Friday.
Okay. You might be able to pull
it. It's cool.
That
I think it's a great idea. It's just that, you know,
he's there this month on the 30th?
The 30th, yeah.
I've never heard of a guy trying to do a day show. That's weird.
It's like I think that'll be the new like Doug Benson doing shows at 4:20. I think that's if you get a, you know, if you have a theme show, people are more inclined to be like, "Oh, this is interesting. Let's check it out."
There's something about having daylight, real, you know, natural light and laughing that I just don't like. I like to be somber during the day.
No, I imagine people going in at 12 and like getting wasted while they're in there and then stumbling out into the daylight at like the
and
first
they're shocked.
People
they're like,
who,
I
like,
should
discovered Earth.
I need to go
oh,
to the doctor.
God, let's get some food.
Well, I could keep drinking. Dude, it's like 3 in the afternoon.
Might as well keep going.
I guess I'll just go to work. I don't know. I have to fill out paperwork.
It's either that or you're going to be in bed by 8. If you start drinking at 12.
I'm kind of liking that. I just turned 30 not too long
really?
Ago in November. Well, and something has
birthday.
Happened, man. Thank you. Something has happened. I haven't gone out at all this weekend. I didn't do anything. I had a beer last night, and I was like, I'm tired. I'm just going to go to bed. I don't know if I don't dislike it, but I'm not sure if I like it either. But I have more money now, which is good.
My tastes have definitely started to vary more since I got. I don't. We went to David Weingarten's last night to watch some football, and we drank there and had some chili. But it's like going out. It has to be. I don't know. We went out for New. It has to be a special occasion. We went out for New Year's. We went to PCI, where they had this big beach party, which was like the only thing. I imagine going downtown, like not being able to move or get to the bar. But I was like, oh, the beach, it's big, it's lots of room.
It's worse.
And it was. And no, it was. It was. It was. There was a nice breeze. It wasn't hot, and nobody was on top of me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. I'm not sure. Like I had a couple beers now, and now I kind of want to keep going. So I don't know. I don't know what to do now. But I'll probably, you know, drink myself out by 10 p.m. pass out, wake up at 8:30, and be ready for work.
Yeah, I think as your tastes get old, like I only drink, you know, good beer. Like you know, you drink 5 or 6 of them, it's basically like drinking 20 Bud Lights.
Yes,
which
totally.
I used to do when I was 19. But
yeah, yeah,
I don't want to do that now. It's not who I am.
Man, I used to be a big. I used to take a little flask of vodka. Not even too long ago, like a couple years
this
ago.
This was yesterday.
I would get that. I would go to Detroit Liquors on Friday night and get myself a flask, you know, not a small one, not a huge one either. And that would be in my back pocket, and I'd finish that thing by myself. And then also drink at bars.
Sure, sure.
And I remember I asked my dad, I was like, I'm a little worried about my drinking here. And I told him what I was doing, and he was just like, if you're worried about it, you're fine. Solid dad advice, which was, you know, in retrospect,
it's true. When you start to ignore it, that's when you should probably worry.
When you're not worried about it, yeah, totally, totally. So what's we're just about out of time already.
Oh, okay.
That
flew by.
I know it really does. We could do another one.
No, but I'll be back.
Okay.
I don't want to
yeah.
you know put them back to back, but I'll definitely come back.
I hear you. Okay, good. So tell you know your shows, your Facebooks, Twitter,
yeah,
all that.
Okay, Twitter, Fat Fernandez. Facebook, my human name, Matt Fernandez. shows, February 11th in Fort Lauderdale. January 24th in downtown St. Pete at Enigma, which I found out is a gay bar.
Yeah.
It makes me even more excited to do it.
Hell yeah. I'll be there.
January 29th at Crowbar in Tampa.
That's going to be a good one.
Yeah, May 10th weekend, I'll be at Side Splitters in Tampa with Jim Florentine.
Nice, nice. Well, Matt, thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me, man.
I'm privileged that you're here. And you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/thehomemadebroadcast, facebook.com/RadioSt. Pete. My Twitter is home_made_man. We have a showcase at Sly Bar on the 29th. Come go to Matt's. But if you can't make it over to Tampa.
Oh, no. Sly Bar is going to be good, too, man.
It really will.
Those are some great comics.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really looking forward to it. Sly Bar is 29th? No, it's 2061. Forget it. I'll look on the Facebook page.
Address.
And I will. Yeah, yeah. Look on the Facebook page, and it will all be up there. Stickers, of course. I just bought these things. Please take them. You know, what am I going to do with them? Email thehomemadebroadcast@gmail.com, and I'll get those to you. I'll pay for postage and everything. Do I sound desperate? I don't. I'm not. I'll keep them. I don't care. Okay. Have a good week. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye, guys.